If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at Burrow.com/ACAST. That's Burrow.com/ACAST. Burrow.com/ACAST.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Welcome to Family Jewels,
the podcast about family drama, family trauma, and everything else you got from your mama. Family Jewels, when you're here, you're family.
Cease and desist from Olive Garden, pending.
This is my sister from another Mr. Charlie Dinkin.
And this is a person I know, Olga Koch.
We started this podcast because when you talk shit about other people, it's gossip.
But when you talk shit about your family, it's research.
Yay! Today, we have a very special guest. He's a writer. He's a producer. He's a stand-up comedian. He's your cool older brother. It's Rajiv Karia. Yeah. Welcome to the podcast, Rajiv.
It's nice to be here.
Well, we have a very special icebreaker for you to start, to sort of put you at ease.
That's pretty nice.
Charlie, over to you.
Is there a way you can be someone's dad and someone, your dad and your nephew can be the same person without incest?
Okay, let's orchestrate this. So dad, but okay, so nephew.
Okay, but do you know why I'm asking this? Because some people can be like, someone could be like your brother and your uncle if they married your, like, your dad's sibling. And then, so how could you be both nephew and your dad? How could your dad be your nephew?
So your dad divorces your mum and then he marries your cousin's, daughter.
It would be close, but it would not quite be.
Okay, your nephew is the son of your brother or sister. So what happens is your dad, your biological dad, divorces your mom, presuming that they're married in a heterosexual marriage, and he. Oh no! It has to be the other way around.
Yeah, well, I think you need a little leniency on either side. Either it has to be possibly a stepdad, or we stretch the definition of nephew to mean. Son of cousin,
okay,
or
okay.
Partner of child of cousin, or partner of
basically
child of a sibling.
If my sister has a kid and that kid marries my mom, that is both my nephew and
dad.
My stepdad.
Do you have?
It could happen, but it would be incest.
This take. Correct. Are there people in your life, in your family, in your definition
who
of
did
family?
This?
Who are both your dad and your
But
nephew.
Don't ask me to explain our relationship.
Do you have people who you consider, who you've done some flexi family definitions on, for whatever reason?
Like someone
you
call aunt?
Consider your aunts or your cousins?
Oh, I've definitely got that because I've got a big family on both sides, but my dad's aunt is married. So my dad's mum's sister.
Yep.
Is married to my mum's brother.
Ooh, it really comes around.
Dad's mom's sister.
So it's basically, I guess.
Is there an age gap?
Yeah, they're older. So basically, imagine if it's kind of on par with if you married somebody, and then their sibling okay. married like your cousin.
Stretch.
You know what I mean? So it's like a marriage of two families, effectively.
Yeah, that.
So
makes...
I've got my cousin on my mum's side is also my dad's cousin on the other side.
So she's always a cousin.
Yeah.
She's not upgraded.
Always
herself.
A cousin, never a sister.
Aunt.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, I think she's my cousin on one side, and she's my dad's cousin on the other side. But then my mum's brother was my uncle on her side, but he was my great uncle on the other side by marriage.
I honestly am so bad at maths. I'd like shut down when you explained this. That's so.
So he's both.
But
things.
You get what I'm doing here with the family marriage that come thing. Together. So that you're related to a person by two sides.
I like that. I heard recently someone who is like a sister of someone I went to school with, but she's getting married to the cousin of her best friend's husband. And that seems ideal to me.
Oh, that sounds really
yeah.
nice.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And then they have made themselves family. Perfect. They were Perfect. Already friends, now they're family. Yeah, yeah. That kind of feels an old-fashioned in a way. Families, the union of families, the union of the grouping of people who already
Well, your
like
brother
each other.
Married your friend, so...
He did, yeah, so in nice. A way, the same.
Yeah.
It's very, very... I'm now
I was
going to
mention that, but I didn't know if they were, like, public.
No, they got married. They got married three times.
I didn't know if they were married publicly.
Yeah. I hope so, because enough weddings. Yeah. But, yes, he... But then, so her, she has a very nice family, lovely family, love her family.
But
I think
him on the other hand.
I'd rather be in her family. She does have a really cool brother, actually. I was like, he's in, I like him. But when they got married, my brother to me was like, well, they're your family too now. And then yes, in a way, obviously feel warm and nice towards them. Look forward to getting to know them very well. But would you consider your siblings...
Partner's family
to be your family.
It's one of those things where it's like if you do end up forming a great bond with them,
that's great.
Then it's all good. But like you don't have to put that much pressure on it.
Yeah, I think
as long as they like them. Otherwise, it's just if you've got say two siblings and everyone you date has two siblings, it's too many families to be in.
Yeah. You've got to keep the circle tight. Are we allowed to talk about the fact that you're getting married?
Yeah, I'm getting married.
That's so
exciting. You are.
Yeah, not long now.
You've been together for a while.
Yeah, long time.
Your family's enmeshed.
Yeah.
What are your holiday plans in terms of each other's families?
In a very sort of modern POC way, we have done almost every Christmas where I've just gone to my parents and she's gone to hers. We're not like one of these couples where we're like half an hour apart. Yeah. We're like, good, I'll see you in a week.
I'll think of you fondly.
Yeah. No, but in general, like also because like we're neither of us, we live in London, but neither of us are from that far away. So it doesn't take that long to get to our parents. So I see my parents pretty regularly. So does she. And with Christmases, it's always been a case of just like, yeah, just split for a couple of days. And then, you know, maybe I'll go there on the 27th or she'll come to mine and we'll hang out
That's
a bit.
That's nice.
Do you ever do a holiday of all four, or is it that you're holidaying with her family or she's holidaying with yours?
We have never braved the famous...
Square.
Mums and dads. What would it be? A hexagon, right? Because
yeah.
two mums and dads plus the... I've been on holiday with her family. She's been on holiday with mine. And we kind of really get on either side, so it's kind of like we're chill. But, I mean, I would be... Honestly, our parents really get on with each other, but the day that they were going to meet, we'd been dating for quite a long time by that point, and I remember we were standing, we'd arrived at the restaurant, me and my partner were at the restaurant, and we knew that the families were on their way in separate cars, and I think at one point I was so nervous, it was like the most nervous I'd ever been, and I was just like, you know, it's not too late, we could just go.
You never have to see your family again, I never have to see mine.
We just leave. I was like, it's like I can... mingle with the best of them, but sometimes when you have people, I'm never relaxed when people I know are meeting each other.
Yeah,
and these are like the most. These aren't flexible like friends.
Yeah,
these
yeah,
are like
yeah.
you only have these are my real mum and dad.
It can't go wrong.
Yeah, yeah. You can't be like, oh, those are my mad home friends. It's okay, we'll cut them out in a couple of
years. I am like, these are my mad home parents. Yeah, yeah. You don't have to worry
this
about them.
These are some people I lived with for a time.
My old flatmates.
Yeah. I have to invite them out because they used to pay for everything.
No, but it's cruel to make old people hang out, I think. No, because they're so set in their ways, they don't do this to them.
It's a bit like when you pair up maybe like cousins or teenage nephews and nieces, and you're just like, oh, you're 16, he's 13, you'll get on. And the look they give you, just like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, of course I won't get on with this guy. Stop putting me. And it's the same when we like group together like the 60-year-olds.
Yeah.
Like, we've been doing tables for the wedding, and we're just like, we were just like, they're not going to get on. We know them separately just because they're both 62.
Yeah.
It does not mean they're going to be friends.
They must have something in common. One day they'll get a bus pass soon.
Yeah, true.
Not even that soon anymore, I don't think.
Get nostalgic for the millennium.
As a copywriter, I think you should offer a service of sitting at that table at a wedding and just doing icebreakers.
I quite often have sat at the worst table at a wedding. I would say at more weddings that I've been to than not, I've been on table 19. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Everyone... like a collection of people who like hate the bride and groom, are partners of bridesmaids who the bride and groom wish they couldn't invite. I often am on that table because I got a bad attitude.
Speaking of, can I please tell you a horror story?
Please.
My friend begged her boyfriend to come to this wedding with her because she didn't know anyone there. They arrive and the bride and groom are like, we did this fun thing where we split everybody up in separate tables so they could get to know each other. So her boyfriend, who didn't want to come there in the first place, had to spend 2 days in Tuscany at a table with random people he'd never met before.
I was going to be like 4 hours. Are you doing this at your wedding before we just slag it off?
No. I don't mind it when it's done to me.
Yes.
I end up having a lot of fun. So I'm like, you know what? I'm at a wedding. I don't have to think about anything for the rest of the day. I'm half cut. Let's just talk to strangers a bit and hope that organically comedy comes up and I can be like, actually, she's a close personal friend. I don't really mind just chatting to new people. I just went on a stag this weekend and I got back and we were in Mallorca. And I got back and my partner was like, how was it? And I was like, great. I feel like I bonded with every guy there. Didn't learn any of their names.
classic wedding.
That's just me at weddings. I'm just like, I'll chat to people, get really into it, and just completely forget who they
are. You are amazing at small talk. You're the best is.
I wish I'd been on more table 19s.
Yeah,
just
they
too
are the
damn
best.
Popular.
You always do table 19. You always do. You bet on the length of the father of the bride speech.
Solid.
That is an easy, everyone can get involved with that. Everyone finds a thing from their pocket. Someone did that at a wedding when I was like 21, like when I went to an early wedding, and I was like, this is a great way to bring people together.
Yeah.
You just find any old thing, you all put it in the middle, you say your time. It's not even rude because a short speech can be good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're not saying that length equates to quality.
Perfect bit of like wedding gossip.
And then everyone's like, oh, good, I won a fucking Metro card and a bottle top, you know? But like,
oh, cute.
And you've all like joked about it and talked about it.
Yeah. Oh my god, I'm gonna use this at his wedding.
Yeah, do it. I'll put you on an appropriate table.
I think it's non-offensive. I think it's like it could be short and brilliant, and you're not making any comments.
Also, the thing is about table 19 is that you've got this sense of like we're all of a certain distance, so no one's gonna be that sensitive.
Completely.
So if somebody goes, this starter is terrible, no one's gonna say, how dare you? My mother slaved over this. I'm the daughter of the caterer, and that's why I'm on table 19.
Yeah, exactly. Who would be there?
But I think you've got to look at the table 19 from the other side as well, which is you did make the cut.
Yeah.
I always think sometimes when I'm at a concert and I've got I'm in the worst seat, I'm like, well, at least I'm in.
Yeah.
There are people who were outside who were like,
Taylor selected me.
Yeah.
Thanks to my contribution of £150.
Fucking. I mean, if you could get a Taylor ticket for £150.
Do you even think the worst one?
Well, I have the worst ones, and they were 100, I think.
That's it. So bad. Oh, okay. I've spoken to people who did resale, so they paid
ridiculous
amounts.
Also, this is unrelated to family jewels, but related to weddings. I'm so cripplingly scared to go to weddings alone that you have a very good policy where you're like, there are no plus ones. If you're invited, you're invited. Go fuck yourself. I think that's the way to do it. But other people don't have the, I would say, verve or the audacity to do that.
Yeah.
And so they'll be like, they'll just invite you, but then they'll just be unclear about the plus one policy. And what I have to do is make a very generous contribution to the honeymoon fund and then say, can I please have a plus one? I would say within an hour of each other.
I think that's a totally fair deal.
And that's twice, that's worse for me.
I paid for my plus one.
I genuinely have done that.
You're going to enjoy a couple's massage on me. Let me bring my flatmate.
Not even an exaggeration.
But also, a wildcard person at a wedding, I think that's a good policy, actually. Just who you want there is the right policy.
No, because if that's the policy, that means that there will be other ones.
Exactly, just ones. The most wildcard, there was one wildcard person at my brother's wedding, one of my brother's weddings. The only person I didn't know was like her cousin's boyfriend. And he was MVP of the wedding. He was like tearing up the dance floor. He was chatting to everyone. He really contributed. And I was like, you weren't your place. You know, you were a good
time.
Yeah,
I think there's merit to that. But I think I'd be a little disappointed if it was my wedding and they'd be like, who was the star? Yeah. Like, he was a ringer. Actually, I don't know who he is. Yeah. Who's that guy who brought the life and soul? That was Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson. I believe they weren't invited.
All right, on this podcast, we want to know about like crazy family stories, gossip, mad shit. How far back in your family do you know things about?
Probably, I think it all gets a bit blurry around like the 40s. I don't really know where any of my grandparents were during World War II.
All right, better that way.
I mean, I know that they were like mostly in Japan and Germany, but I can't tell
where volunteering, presumably.
Yeah, yeah. Working at Baden-Baden, perhaps. I think it goes back to sort of my grandparents. I know that. They all went from like India to Uganda. And I know that they got kicked out of Uganda. And then my dad and his siblings went to India. My mum came here with all of like her family.
So all four of your grandparents moved to Uganda?
Yeah, they were all born in sort of the same part of Gujarat. And almost all of my aunts and uncles, both sides, were born in Uganda. But most of my grandparents were dead before I was born, so I wasn't really able to ask them, be like, why'd you go to Uganda? But
did your parents meet in Uganda?
They're from the same village, but they met here.
Okay.
But obviously that's kind of because like the community stayed tight knit as they moved across.
Yeah.
Where did they come to in the UK?
So my mum was in Clapham.
Hitting up Infernos, away.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, she set up Infernos. She was in Clapham with like loads of my aunts and uncles and stuff, and some of them are still sort of in Streatham and stuff. And my dad came to the UK when he was 18, a couple of years later, because he went to India for a bit and went to like finish schooling in India.
Yeah.
And then he came to the UK and he lived with my great uncle in Worthing for a while, because my great uncle had come here for like boarding school in the late 50s.
Crazy.
And so he was like the first one. So as everybody else came over, he was like settling them.
Wow.
So he was like, let me show you what Woolworths is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Check this out.
And I always think it's quite funny because he was like, he was gay and out, and he released a really good like sitar pop album like in like 66.
What? Yeah. What?
It's got like a cover. It's like honestly, it's on Spotify.
What?
It's got like covers of Scarborough Fair and Eleanor Rigby, and it got produced by a guy who did David Bowie's first album.
Rajiv, how has this never come up? This is insane.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty mad stuff. But he's been dead ages, so I can't even mine it for a show.
Wait, no, that's
you can mine anything.
You need to play him
show.
In the biopic. We'll write it for you.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so I always think it's really funny that he was probably like having the time of his life, being like, "Mom and Dad are at home. I'm out. I'm having a wicked time."
Amazing story.
Idiot. I mean, what? Okay, yeah, I'll give up everything and I'll sort you out. And literally, effectively, like his parents, my dad's grandparents, came here, like got them a place to live, and then all of my dad's aunts and uncles, like my dad's mum was the oldest of nine, and so all of those aunts and uncles were like coming over. So he was like, "Right, let me
help
you out."
Was he out to them?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't think it was ever a secret. But I think he was probably having like a real like, I don't care about anything. I'm having a really good time. It's the 60s. Suddenly like, okay.
Yeah, he had an album out.
19 of my
bit more money to mum and dad. Got to sort this all out now.
Wait, that's amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, he was a real cool dude. Like,
so your dad lived with him?
Yeah, for like the first few years. And then he kind of was in London. When my dad's parents came over, my dad's parents came over. They moved to Southall, and then he was in Southall for a bit, and then he sort of moved around a bit for like work and things.
imagine being an 18-year-old growing up in Uganda and India and then arriving in London to your great uncle, his uncles.
His uncles.
LMFAO. LMFAO.
Yeah, oh my God. They were the original LMFAO, but with sitar.
And then you show up and he's just the coolest dude ever.
Well, they were very close because my dad's mum was the oldest. A lot of his aunts and uncles were like quite similar age to him.
Okay.
So it's kind of like, you're like, oh, this is my uncle, but you're really more like
cool
cousin.
Older brother.
It's kind of like your cousins. Cousins.
How can an uncle be a cousin?
Yeah.
You've just answered
our own
that.
Questions.
That is unbelievable. You're just like sucked into the coolest.
Yeah, yeah. So they came here and also like...
Getting off the plane and just getting dragged into Studio 54. That's the vibe.
Yeah.
That's like, so cool.
Yeah. They've been here since like the 70s.
Who is the oldest person in your family you ever knew?
My mum's mum, who I think she died when I was about 5. I'm one of like 20 cousins on that side. So she was very loving, but like...
It's like, I love all of you. I don't know who any of you are.
Yeah.
Kind of like you on that stag do.
Yeah, exactly.
Get him in a WhatsApp
group.
Not
going anybody's name.
Who is your favorite cousin? Who's the best cousin? You don't even need to say your favorite. Everyone has one best cousin.
They're all pretty great, to be honest. Like,
that's nice.
When I say to people, I'm like, oh, a big family. They're like, oh, yeah, big extended family of cousins you never see. I was like, no, they're all, we get on pretty well.
That's really nice.
And it's really great because, like, having a wedding is like, I'm the second youngest cousin on that side, of all the cousins. And so it's like, I've been to almost all of their weddings.
Aww.
And I've been the little dickhead when I was like 10, 13, 17. And then when we started booking this wedding, it was like, are we going to invite kids? I was like, the things I've done at their weddings, I can't deny them their children at mine. It's just not fair. It wouldn't be honourable. They're all very cool. I mean, they're incredibly upstanding members of suburban London society.
Great.
A variety of opticians and speech therapists.
Fantastic.
And financiers.
Someone for every need.
Yeah, they're very sweet. Most of them have watched my special.
Do they? They're into it?
Yeah, well, they're all polite enough to say yes.
I think that's a win.
Yeah, they're all really cool.
Cool, let's just wrap this up then.
I don't have anyone who's like, you know, like a mountaineer or a porn star jumps out.
I will find this out this weekend, following weekend.
Yeah.
And I'll report back if I find any porn stars. That being said, I think you have a very distinct, cool persona. And I was wondering, is it hereditary? Does it run in the family? Are you cool? Because it kind of sounds like you are cool.
Do you see elements of, or do people ever comment that there are elements of you in people, or other people they knew in your family? Is anyone like, oh, you're so like your...
No, actually. I mean, I look exactly like my dad, and I've got hair exactly like my mum. But I, you know what I realised? Because I think, I like things about, oh yeah, I'm cool, or like whatever, but I think, a lot of that comes from like a keen interest in music, and there's lots of sort of musicians in my family, including like my great uncle and some of my great aunts and stuff. We're always like singers and musicians and stuff. But like looking back, I think especially now with my sort of like 70s, 80s aesthetic, I was looking at some old pictures and I was like, oh, all I ever want to dress like is just like all of my uncles in 1974.
Hell yeah.
Do you remember the big sideburns I had last year?
Yeah.
It was just like, that's what
Who
it
could
is.
Forget?
I think I want to be the cool guy, but just 50
Something
years
Something in you is roaring you to that.
It's so boring to be like, oh, I was born in the wrong generation. But look at these old pictures, like, this doesn't.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. juvederm.com. That's juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Yeah. No, and it suits you so well. It's funny how some people just have a look that's like of a, like I think that era really suits you. Like every time the like 70s come back into fashion and that's like the wardrobe, I'm like, God damn it, there's just like gonna be nothing I can wear. Like nothing will look good on me for women from that era. Like there's just no look. But every time the like 40s are a little bit back in, I'm like, at last, no shop.
It's time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, what about right now when it's all about 2002?
Absolutely not.
It's like, I just can't wear it. I don't even know. Every outfit, chaos for me.
I am bullied by the dropped waist. Absolutely
the dropped not. Waist is truly unfair because it's so only a thing you can do between 16 and 25.
Yeah.
But also I think something that I have been seeing a lot is at the peak of the early 2000s, it was really fashionable to have a very long torso. Do you remember
women? Yeah, which I do not have.
You would have no pubes whatsoever, so you could really have a bikini that went...
It wasn't even no pubes. It was like no mons pubis. It was like so you stressful. Had like got the stomach extended. You're like...
The distance between... under boob and belly button would be the exact same distance from belly button to wherever it would go.
I feel like just, kind
the belly button would be in the middle of your body.
When that's poorly attempted, it makes you look a bit like the Uncut Gems lady when she was wearing that really weird outfit that made her look really like spoony.
Yeah. Julia Fox, yeah.
Julia Fox. Kind of made her look like one of those little bugs in Men in Black.
The grasshoppers in Men in Black, yeah.
Oh, everything about it, so stressful. The flat shoes, were you wearing like pumps?
Oh my God.
They're back.
Yeah, the ones that literally are like just like a sock.
I never understood those the first time round because I was just like, isn't your foot just slamming into the ground?
Of course it is. And now I have I'm like, I've always had flat arches ever since. I'm sure that's not from that, but it like definitely exacerbated it. And then I'm like, well, now I'm a grown up. It's like, I got that plantar fasciitis thing on
that's the my worst. Right foot.
Yeah. Wait, what's that?
It's like a pain in the arch of your foot by your heel. And it's just like, because of tightness. But like, yeah, I'm sure I was just like, whacking my foot against the concrete for years. Those like long ass flares that would just be like disgusting around the bottom.
Oh, when you stepped
What's
on
mad
it?
Is not only are those flares back. Well, I guess you wouldn't call them flares. They're just big the whole way.
Yeah,
down.
They are. They're like tight crotch, but wide. Everything
what's
else.
Mad is I'm seeing people with like a very slim trainer underneath.
Oh, like a kind no, of like, wear like a van.
As in the slim trainer, which is like almost like a pea plimsoll type shape, where it doesn't make your foot look very wide at all. It's quite. You're seeing those under those big, big jeans. And I'm like, it kind of looks like you're really into like Stereophonics in 2003.
That's what they're going for.
Yeah, it's a very weird one. I thought out of all of a lot of the 2001, 2002 aesthetics when they came in, I was like, yeah, that makes sense. That really ties to like kind of club culture vibes. And even, I guess there's like a sort of like, skinny legend about the low-rise jeans because you're just like, check me out. You're just exposing your...
Look how long my torso is.
Yeah. Torso
damn, girl. Does that torso ever end?
Long legend. But like, there's this thing of like, you have to be like model skinny to make that look work. So I guess like, yeah, if you're young and you're really skinny, you want to like show off that look. But now that this is coming in, the really big jeans, I'm like, they don't look that good on anybody.
No, that. But it's not about looking good.
Yeah,
that's
that
all I can deduce. It's like not about looking good. And that I can respect because it's also not about looking good for me either. I do feel like
I'm one of you. Let me in.
Protest.
I invented not looking good.
Every time I see my parents, they look absolutely horrified at what I'm wearing. They like do not know where to start. But I want to be like, I know. That's
this
the
is
bit.
Intentional. Yeah.
My parents stopped trying to understand a long time ago, I think.
But you always look fantastic.
First of all, and second of all, you look fantastic in a way that they can understand.
Thank you. You know what, this is really, I'm not like a smart dresser that often. It's more just like, I was really cold this morning and I don't have many jumpers. I was like, I'll have to wear a shirt underneath. It'll be a business.
It's giving driving instructor.
Yeah, a little bit.
What were you doing during on the Millennium Eve? Do you remember?
Oh yeah, I went to, Central London with my mum and dad and my brother and sister and my cousins Akash and Ravi and their mum and dad, and a few of like a few more mums and dads and kids.
Yeah.
And it was a horrible time.
Obviously, yeah. The worst possible
night. It's weird. How would you keep track of all these tiny little kids?
Well, we ended up all kind of getting splintered off. I think for a good few hours, I was just with my mum. And it was like, I imagine if you were an adult, it would have been like, oh, what a stress. But it was pretty damn traumatizing. Also, it's kind of like a shared trauma because every now and then you'll chat about the Millennium to someone and they're like, yeah, I went into London with my parents. I'm like, I was there too.
What was it to see? There were fireworks.
Fireworks, okay. Yeah. And I think there was this thing of like, oh, it's the Millennium. It's the big year. But
is Y2K going to get Piccadilly Circus? That would be my question.
Did you think the Millennium, did your parents think the Millennium bug was coming? I know my dad filled a bath with water. That was what he did. He was like, maybe there'll be no more water. I don't know why.
That is such like dad solution.
Like, you have to go like just going down.
You're like, I know you're like this. It's not that this is a bad idea, Dad. It's just only it's 3% of a good idea. It's like it's really not enough of a good idea for you to have done it.
It gets you through the first 30 seconds, and then you really have to find another plan. Did your parents?
I actually don't know. My dad is an accountant. And he's an at-home accountant. So as a result, we had like a computer long before any of my friends ever had a computer. Like, we've had a computer as long as I can remember. And I think there was probably a healthy bit of like paranoia. But I think anybody who knew anything about... Anyone who used computers and it wasn't like deep, deep knowledge of how they worked.
Yeah.
I think they were probably fine, being like, it's not really going to happen. The deep, deep knowledge people were probably like, shit, all of the logic that we use about it. Because I think the more you know about something, the more you're worried it'll break because you know all the ways it can break.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Whereas if you're just using it, you're like, well, the clock's just going to go to zero and then...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're like, why wouldn't it?
Time resets.
If you don't know the computer science behind it. I mean, you're a computer science person. Have you read anything about the Millennium Bug? Do you think you would have been... Were you afraid at the time?
I mean, I was 8 years old. Okay. I think I only learned about Y2K and the Millennium Bug years after.
Really?
I didn't even know that was happening
like,
at the time.
Reading about like why they were afraid of it, do you think you would have believed it if you were an adult at the time?
Probably not. I think it was like lots of fear-mongering, right? And people and companies profiting off of it.
Yeah.
I guess so.
And it's really funny because I guess at the time they were like, we've become too dependent on computers, guys. And we're all going to learn our lesson right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then like it passed. They were like, we're so going to not
I
learn our lesson.
I vaguely remember it, but I was not that interested in it because the two things that stand out for me for the Millennium were, one, I bought my first ever eyeshadow. I got like a sparkly eyeshadow and I really thought I was going to look amazing. I guess it was 11 and I was like, this is my night.
You were like, I'm going to be a brand new person
in
2000.
Yeah. I was like,
goodbye, 1999 me.
Also futuristic. I loved the sort of like futurism of the early 2000s. Remember, every magazine was like, the smart home, smart home. Your fridge is going
to
talk to you.
Everyone was like, obsessed with the number 2000. Yeah. Everything had 2000 was on everything. It was just like, okay.
It's a good number. It's very futuristic as a number.
Yeah. It is great. It really feels, the robots are 2000.
Yeah.
But then I went to a party with my parents, a big party with lots of people, and it was the first time I ever saw a teenager get hospitalized from drinking too much.
Man.
She hit it really hard. An
Y2K.
Ambulance had to come. Y2K, baby.
We had, where we were, there was, this is on the Millennium, when we got split, we were like waiting by a tube station for ages. I think they'd been closed or something. And there was definitely I can remember this relatively clearly. There was an overpass, like a walking overpass above us. And someone had collapsed up there. So there was like a paramedics up there. And I was just like beneath there, just like death is all around
the
us.
The real Millennium Bug is the knowledge of your own mortality.
Oh my God.
I would never recommend taking children to, it's just also, it's not particularly worth it. Like if you take like, taking kids into crowds sometimes is worth it because you're just like, oh, we're all going to go to a festival and they can watch music. But like the fireworks are just so, you can literally just watch fireworks in your town. Yeah.
I'll do anything to avoid crowds. I don't want to be in a crowd ever in my entire life, even if it's for the best reason.
It's blowing my mind that we lived through the year 2000.
It is kind of weird. Yeah.
It's crazy because like our kids are going to be like, you were there at the turn of the fucking century.
Yeah.
And then how did we celebrate it? By building the Millennium Dome.
Yeah.
Okay, let's not go hard on the Millennium
Dome. You're welcome.
Yeah. I'm sorry, one of the great tent structures of this world.
Next time you're watching EastEnders, you thank me.
Did you go to the Millennium Dome when it was...
No, but I do know that there's a collector in America who's collecting all of the merch they ever sold, and he has a list of things he has, and he has a list of things he's looking for. And if you have what he's looking for, which are like tea towels and keychains that he like,
he will pay.
He will pay top dollar to send it to him. It's like he's somewhere in like Missouri or something.
How would you feel if you were like in a long term relationship with a person like that, and they started showing signs of an interest like that? You know, they're kind of like. You're with them in a thrift store and they're like, oh, look at this Millennium Dome t-shirt. And you're like, you have to stamp it out immediately. Like, put that down.
This is a question you have to consider. It's getting like, married.
Stamps are actually quite interesting. Stop that.
This is why I'll never marry. Because yeah. I can't be tied to someone when they suddenly get a random interest in ephemera.
Yeah.
They start the collection. No way, baby. I'm out.
Post breakup, one of the things that you realize that like things that you were like, oh, that's cute, or you were like, that's fun. It's you realize that that was not, and you were just trying to justify it to yourself in your head.
Yeah.
I've had that happen so many times.
That's the line between like, no, almost no things are objectifiably. Like good or bad or like cute or not cute, it just depends how you feel about that person.
You cannot break up with Helly, because if you do break up, she's gonna realize you're not funny.
Yeah, that's true.
we can't have that.
It's okay, she doesn't think I'm that funny anyway. I've locked in my other good personality traits. It's like you got to know what's gonna last the longest. You know, your partner's gotta fall in love with you because you're nice, because you can be
forever. Ones that you can continue with.
Yeah. You can't be like, I'm young and sexy, look at all my hair. it's like that's poor investment, my friend.
How did your parents meet, and why did they fall in love with each other?
So they met they kind of like were aware of each other because like after my mum's brother married my dad's aunt, that was actually in Uganda. That was in the late 60s. They like knew of each other. So my dad comes to the UK in 75, and then like he knew. So they would see each other at like functions and things. And as everyone was getting married in order, because my mum's the youngest. So like her people. And so as she sort of got to an age where she was like looking to find someone to marry, she sort of met my dad a couple of times, and she thought he liked her sister.
A classic story. Jane Austen-esque.
And they would, so they started meeting up and they would go on dates. I think.
Wait, her or her sister?
No. My dad and my mum.
Okay, yeah.
I hope they're not the sister.
And the whole time she was like, he fancies my sister? Or
no, I think she thought that before they ever went on a date. And then they started like sort of going on dates, I think in like Battersea Park.
Aww.
Yeah, which is like quite sweet. And I think they were sort of courting relatively quietly for that part of the year before they were like, should we get married? Like, yeah.
It was her turn. They'd all the older ones.
Yeah, yeah, effectively. I think all of my aunts and uncles got married in age order. So my mum's sister, just one above her, got married like 6 months before. But it was like, it was very much like, if you have that many kids and everyone's getting married, and everyone is getting married.
Yeah, you got to just schedule it.
Yeah, you're scheduling it. I think there was definitely some stigma to the idea of like, you know, your one sibling getting married before their older sibling had.
Is that what's happening in your...
I think there's definitely stigma. My brother does not care. My brother is just he's 35. He quit his job for a big consulting firm last year, where he'd been working since he graduated.
Wow, he's brave.
Now he's just like the ultimate lord of leisure. All he does is go on holiday. He makes more new friends than any other 35-year-old I know.
Great.
The dream. Wait, he's the one who dated my friend from school.
Yes. Yeah. After they broke up, he's steered into this whole very much like, okay, I'm not going to be in a relationship. It's just purely me time.
Oh my God, good for him.
He's in his, what do you call it? Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
So he's not offended that you're marrying
him?
No,
he's completely to the beat of his own drum.
Yeah, good. That's a good balance of siblings. Is it just the two of you?
No, I've got a younger sister.
What's her vibe?
She's really great. She's only about, she's like, 20 months younger than me, 18 months younger than me. So we were only like a year apart in school, so we're quite tight. She's great. She's kind of like a lady me.
Great.
She's very funny. She's got a good job. Nice boyfriend.
Great.
Lovely little flat. Very responsible. Great. She's kind of the more responsible of the three of us.
So a wild card sibling and a...
Yeah, well, he wasn't. I was the wild card. This is what's really annoying. He's kind of taken it from me. Now I'm like sensible with my sort of day job and soon to be wife. Yeah. And I think a lot of my, you know, I think the thing you asked me earlier about like your cousins, like, oh, who's the crazy one? I think a lot of my other cousins would probably say me.
Yeah.
And that's probably why I was a bit like, oh no, they're all very normal and sensible and kind. And I'm like, oh no, I'm the one who's, I think a lot of them are surprised that I have been as straight down the line as I probably should have been more of a renegade. I like what I like. I like trying new things, but I'm very much like, I like the same thing.
One thing is that
hanging out in London, watching comedy, doing comedy, hanging out with the same people, and living in my little flat.
Yeah, why not? That's nice.
I was thinking about moving the other day, and I was like, I don't ever want to move. And I was like, but eventually I'm going to have to. And I was like, oh God, change life.
Changes. I find change very difficult.
Yeah.
Did you live in one place the whole time you were a child?
Basically, two. One when I was really little, and then one from like 8 upwards, where my parents still are. And I think we were okay. I think that we were young enough that they were like, we're going to move.
Yeah,
and you
exciting.
Were like, okay, it's exciting. But then I was thinking about how like my parents, it's completely empty nest now. And I was like, oh, they might give up the house. And I was like, no, don't give it up. Stop. No,
that's
don't.
That's hard. That is a hard life stage thing. I have a friend who's gone through her parents, one of her parents selling their family home recently, and I think it was like not only a huge job to like sort through a lifetime of stuff, which I guess is, did you see that thing that was like it was like millennials don't want your stuff, there's like all people saving like tea sets and like just like their nice china and stuff, and being like, young people don't have anywhere to, well, millennials aren't even young people anymore, but like people don't have anywhere to
so
put
that's like
stuff.
Us with like all our Beanie Babies and...
yeah, exactly, like no one wants your Beanie Babies.
I've still got all the Beanos I ever collected.
I have some Beanos. I kept the Millennium Beano. I remember wrapping it in plastic and I was like, this is gonna be valuable one day.
I'm sure it will be.
That was the biggest fallacy though. Beanos are not valuable. I bought some at a market years ago from like the 70s, and I was like, these will be worth loads, but they just released so many and so many people kept them that they're never going to be that valuable. Also, I don't think there's that many collectors. Like Beanie Babies, who do you sell them to?
Well, no one now.
Well, we never thought Y2K would happen, and now they're selling Tamagotchis at Urban Outfitters. So don't underestimate the power of time.
Yeah, I guess. But I think they might start making new ones of things and selling them, and that's kitsch and all. But I don't think, no matter, basically, if you kept it, it probably hasn't gained any value.
If the Antiques Roadshow came through your town today, you know people like take an object onto that.
That's a very good question.
And to like see if it's valuable. What object would you?
Oh man.
Is there, what would you take from your flat that you have that you would be like, oh, this would be the most likely, or like to check the value?
Are you taking all your
the
Beanos?
The most interesting. You'd maybe take the Beanos.
Yeah, and if it, honestly, if they were like these are worth less than you bought them for, I'd be like, just fucking keep them.
Just leave them in the bin.
I have...
what would you take? Have you got a mystery item?
Okay, so are we familiar with the brand Forever 21?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
So Forever 21, an iconic fast fashion brand who I think they're out of business now, right?
They were never here. They never made it here.
Okay, well, in America, they
but we've
were...
we've heard about it from there because of American television.
If it's not near Rajiv's flat, he doesn't care.
Yeah,
they were it. They were the moment, okay? Yeah. The way that Abercrombie & Fitch was the moment.
Well, you might be able to explain what's like a comparative British... Tammy
Jane
Girl?
Norman?
Norman. Tammy Girl...
River Island?
Is Jane Norman here?
New look?
Jane Norman's here.
Old new look, but when new look has gone a bit more upmarket, it is more like a Tammy or a... Yeah, maybe how River Island used to be. Maybe
okay,
all of them
so
were
2000s
more
new look, 2000s River
I think all
Island,
of them have tried to upscale bit, but were more like that.
So, Forever 21, fast fashion icon. It is really a time capsule. Like some of the stuff that you'll see there is like everybody owned, right? Peplum tops, etc. A Big Owl necklace. We remember.
Big Owl necklace. That owl was a scourge.
Big Al neck was knee-high boots or the Jeffrey Campbells. Anyways, so I had an enviable collection of tops that I think... and the thing is, it's not a rare top, but I think the clothes were so flammable, I feel like they simply would have disintegrated in other wardrobes, or people would have just discarded them. But I do have a few pieces that I've held on to. One of them specifically is a crop tank top.
No, stop it.
That is made out of that, like, almost like feather thin, like transparent material. Do you know what I'm talking about? And on this transparently light crop in big ass rhinestones that are like weighing down this really thin top is just the word God.
Did you love it? Did you love
it? Yeah, I wore it to the club. I wore it to the EDM show.
It's giving. Have you ever seen that picture of me when I was 18, when I was on holiday with after school? People went on like a mad holiday.
Are we talking like Nuki or Cabos?
Well, I think people were going all over the place, right? But people were going on wild holidays. But my group of friends, clever girls, were like, we're going to do a really sophisticated thing instead.
No,
so we went to my friend's like family's town in Italy. I guess they like had a flat there, and it was, I think it was sort of for her 18th birthday present. But it was like a really out of the way town. And then there was one nightclub. And then we went so hard in that nightclub every night. We were just so messy. But I found these t-shirts and they just said, pick me up now, I need you so bad. And then I wore the entire week with a sparkly cap.
Oh man, that's so funny. You guys belonged in like Cabos.
Yeah, I was so like, I should have just gone somewhere where I could have partied hard rather than this shitty horrible.
Also, the feeling you get when you do go on those holidays. I went with some friends, 17, went to Sunny Beach, Bulgaria. What up?
Who chose that?
The travel agent.
You were like, where can we go now?
I'm not that old. I'm sorry for saying travel agent. And we went there. And I think the feeling was like, oh God, we're going to be the only like non-animals there. Instant feeling of relief of being like, no, we're just normal and everybody else is normal and it's fine and we're all just going to get wasted.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. I should have done it. I think I would have enjoyed it.
That is very funny though.
Yeah. As soon as I got there, I was like, I deeply regret thinking I was going to have a sophisticated
time. I had the same thing when I got to uni and I met these million gap year people and they were all like, oh, you just came back from Thailand. I was like, oh my God, you went to Thailand.
What?
Wow. I was like, the things you must have seen. And then like years later, I got to go to Thailand. I was like, oh yeah, you were 19 and you came to Party Central.
Yeah, that's it.
And you partied with other people from Surrey.
Yeah, that's exactly
like,
what it was.
You did not have a real experience. No. Like,
God, that's so funny.
Where's your realest experience you've ever had?
Oh God, I honestly don't think I've done much real in my time. I very much stick on the beaten track. I've been to Thailand, which is great. Went to a full moon party. Have you been to one?
No.
Thailand is genuinely great. Like, it's like a perfect blend of like, it's accessible and touristy, but it feels like authentic. The people are friendly. It's affordable. There's loads to do. Travels like.
And you can drink out of a really big bucket.
Everyone tells you like, oh, apparently the Red Bull here still has speed in it, and you just go, what?
That is exciting.
People always say that. So, but yeah, the full moon party. I remember it just being like a very crazy, but also just like quite gross. Like, I think if you ever like do one of those things where you travel across the world for a legendary thing. So if you ever go to like Burning Man or something like that, I feel like the strong feeling is going to be like, this is shitter than people said.
Definitely. I mean, Burning Man, definitely. If we learn anything from this year, it's that Burning Man looks horrible.
Well, that's how I feel about Bali Balasan or any foam party.
Yeah.
Where you're just like, who's cleaning this?
Who's cleaning this? It's like the primary directive of my life. I can't enjoy anything unless I know how it's been sanitized beforehand.
Maybe that's how they started foam parties. They were just like, right, we've got to clean all this up.
Oh, no.
Phone parties had such a short shelf life. Like, you turn 18, everyone's like, phone party! You go to one, you turn like 18 and a half, and you're like, I'd never do a phone party again.
Apparently they're doing disgusting baby phone parties now. I heard from I got a niece.
Is it like a gender reveal?
They were at a farm. They were at a family farm, and then there was a phone party at the farm. And as far as I could see, there was like foam being sprayed off the back.
Okay,
of
but
tractor.
Babies would be into
for
foam.
Babies. Yeah, that's who it's for.
Yeah, but like they're the last people you should be like hanging around. They like pissing and shitting themselves.
Yeah, but so I hear other people on the beaches in
Thailand. Yeah, God, I remember like the amount of people that were pissing in the sea at the full moon party. We were just like, that's got to be mostly pissed by now, right? Yeah. But I don't think I've ever done any real off the beaten track stuff. I haven't traveled much. When I've been to India, we went to like went to Gujarat and stuff, to like the town where my dad lived. And
do you have any family left there?
Yeah, I've got some of my dad's cousins. So my paternal grandfather, he had one sister who moved here, and all of her kids are here, and they come to my wedding and stuff. And then the other sister was staying in India, so her like five children and all of their kids and stuff, they're all there in India. So we hung out with them, which was cool. But yeah, I don't know. What's off the beaten track? What have you done?
only not intentionally, only by accident have I ended up in just really unfortunate places, feeling very dangerous.
Well, you went to the Holy Land theme park in Orlando, Florida.
Oh yeah, I did once. When I left, graduated from university, I drove from Florida to upstate New York. And I went to the Holy Land theme park, isn't it?
Sadly, it is.
That was
gone.
The scariest place I've ever been to in my entire life. It was owned by Turner Broadcasting. It was like fundamentalist. As we were going in, me and my boyfriend at the time were like, if anyone asks, let's say we're cousins. Because we were like, obviously no one was going to ask, but it did have that energy. It was like half built. It was never finished. And all that happened all day is that they had a big mega church and you'd sit and then like every half an hour they'd do a new show. And the guy who was playing Jesus and the guy who was playing the devil, both very luscious long haired men, would switch parts. And they both loved playing the devil and hated playing Jesus.
And isn't that a metaphor for life?
Yeah. That's true. So it's not like a theme park?
No, it was rubbish. It had no rides. It had like a walkthrough experience where you could like see different Bibles, but we like pushed through the doors to get ahead. And then we were just in like these dark rooms with these like animatronics holding Bibles. It was honestly really scary.
That sounds really funny because it's like one of those things where you're like, this will be a big laugh. And then within 8 seconds,
yeah, it was not a laugh
you're like,
at all.
This isn't a laugh.
And I was like, I shouldn't have given my money to
this. I want to go to the car.
Yeah, I got to leave. Disney is just down the road. I should have gone there instead.
Especially Universal Studios as well.
Please.
That big upside down house. There's matching.
Why am I doing this? Yeah, that was pretty crazy. That was a nice one.
I actually tell a lie. I've been to a North Korean restaurant in Cambodia.
Oh, wow. Yeah. How was that?
Very creepy. All of the women who were waitresses, they were like Stepford Wives. They were quite unsettling. And they obviously didn't like serving us. I think we were the only people in there. I think it was mostly Chinese clientele. And I think North Korea and China have quite a good relationship. And so like it was like just eating kimchi. It was good. At one point, all of the waitresses, they'd go up onto stage and perform in between, like, so.
All right, we love a little Ellen Stardust Diner.
Yeah, and it was quite
Ellen's
cute.
North Korean Stardust Diner.
But it was a little, like, unsettling. It was kind of, like, sort of, like, very wide smiles to the point where you could almost see, like, a kind of panic in the eye, and you were like, oh, God, I don't know about this. And there was, like, a real, like, muscly dude behind the counter. You were just like, yeah, that guy's, like, the guy who makes sure no one steps out of line.
But the food was good?
I mean, all I had was kimchi.
All right, can't go wrong.
Yeah, and then they were taking pictures with the guy it was his birthday, and they were taking pictures with him. And then my friend said, "Oh, can we have some pictures as well?" And it was me and my two white friends, and they just went, "No."
Precious
and
memories.
We were like, cool. You know what? Point. Fair enough. We've been here long enough. Here's the cash. Goodbye. Very much like, do not put a card down.
Yeah.
We were so paranoid, but the truth is, it's like there's no way even the North Korean government has the time to go after every person who has the gall to patron their business.
Yeah. I think
via restaurant as well.
Yeah.
Okay, we need to wrap this up, but I can't wrap this up without pointing out one very important thing. When we were in Bristol, Rajiv and I on tour, I had the pleasure of seeing the very bedroom where Rajiv lost his virginity.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's how you introduced it?
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
he took us there.
I forgot about that. Yeah. Yeah, I was like, let me take you on a walk.
Okay, this is the pure energy of Bristol because my dad did the exact same thing to me. My dad went to Bristol University and then he took me on a tour around Bristol and he just pointed at places that he banged.
Legends.
Yeah, that was all I learned on a trip around.
I should do this together.
Yeah, all of you get together, do a tour of all the places.
A walking tour.
It was a coincidence that we walked past the flat I used to live in. And I was like, see that window?
I took a picture of you. I've got a picture of it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm printing it out for the wedding.
It's very memorable. Good memories. And if she's listening.
All right. Well, I one day hope to see it myself. I will. We'll plan a Bristol trip. We'll put the map coordinates on
our
Instagram.
That was such a
Instagram.
Memorable trip.
Yeah.
You got a show out of it. I showed you my old room.
That's nice. Yeah, that's friendship right there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, do you have anything to promote?
You can watch my last show on ITVX. It's called Gallivant. Please watch it.
You must.
Also,
you must.
ITVX is really popping off, guys. You need to show ITVX a bit more respect.
You've been paid.
I wish I was. I think I'm in a, technically in the position I'm now where I'm like, if I don't get more views, I'm going to owe them some money in some time. No, but I generally went on it, and I think since they switched it to ITVX, they put all these really decent movies on there, and I'm just nobody knows about it.
It's a cool name for a platform as well.
Yeah, cool. Everyone likes
X. Everything's got to be X.
ITV yeah. X Factor.
Very millennium.
X-Men 3. Oh yeah, I'll plug that. I watched X-Men 3 recently.
Yeah, you enjoyed it?
The Last Stand. I watched that on the plane.
All right.
It's, you know, it's so great. And I said, thoroughly recommend
it. So check out Rajiv's stand-up special or
X-Men 3, The Last Stand, 2006.
Just a fan. Yeah.
The perfect double feature. This episode of Family Jewels was produced by our nephew, Andrew White, in the fantastic Trusty Hog studio.
I've been your one fun cousin, maybe two fun cousins, us together, but one of the fun cousins, Charlie Dinkin.
And I've been your dad's brother, who's still living in the basement, but promises he's leaving any day now, Olga Koch.
Like, subscribe, share, and talk about us at your next family reunion.
If you have any family stories, secrets, or skeletons that you want to share, DM us on Instagram.
Or leave them to us in your will.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.